What do we call meditation? To kind of bring us in, help us get, I would say help you get centered. Okay. And these are the rules for the meditation. The rules for the meditation are that there are no rules for the meditation. You go where you want to go in your mind. You be wherever you want to be. You sit any kind of way you want to. You don't have to wrap your leg behind your head if you don't feel like it. Nothing like that. I've done my best meditations flat on my back in my bed. Sometimes when I'm sitting in uncomfortable positions, it's hard for me to focus. So I just sit in comfortable position. You do what you think is best for you. You want to sit on the floor, that's fine. Whatever you want to do in my class is basically cool. So, and then while we're doing it, I'd like you to come up with a purpose for being here. I mean, come up with a purpose. Like, why did I show up? Give yourself a goal. Think of something you want to do or see different. Because if you don't have a goal, the class will have no value. If you don't have a purpose, it will have no meaning. So just close your eyes just for a minute. You are loving and you are lovable. You are an unlimited, infinite, powerful being of love. Your thoughts are creating. Your consciousness creates your reality. You only have two emotions, love or fear, and you are love. You are sustained by the love of your Creator. When you forget how beautiful you are and how holy you are and how free you are, you misperceive and you miscreate at that point. And you create things in your life that frighten you and cause you concern. If you are experiencing some fearful or challenging situation in your perception right now, it's just because you have forgotten who you are. It's always an identity problem. You are not your body. You are not your body. You are free. Your body is a beautiful aspect that you chose to experience because you wanted to see how it would be to create love in a physical form, but you are not your body. You are not your ego either, and your ego is your self-concept. It is who you think you are based on your past experiences. Your ego is your story. Everyone's got his story. But you are not your story. Truth about you. That is the truth about you. If you think it's not, if you think it's not, then that's why we're here. To forget. We're going to be, if you got the book, we're going to be on page 30. Got a few extra copies up front. And I'll just go through the paragraph and then come back and share with you my interpretation of it after working with this for 30 years.
9-year-old.
You have no idea. You have no idea how old I am. You'd be shocked. You'd be more shocked than how old you are.
You have a look at the depth you got.
That's right.
I think he's 200.
It's possible. I'm gonna start at the bottom of page 29. I'm gonna go through that paragraph again. It says fear is always a sign of strain. So if you're feeling fear right now, you're feeling strain. So whatever part of your life right now that you feel some fear in, you're feeling strain. And it comes up whenever what you want conflicts with what you do. So whenever what you want is conflicting with what you're doing, whenever what you want is conflicting with what you're doing, whenever what you want is conflicting with what you're doing, whenever what you want is conflicting with what you're doing, then you make fear. So a person that's full of a lot of fear all the time is a person that's not doing what they want to do. First, you can choose to do conflicting things either simultaneously or successively. So you can do either one thing after another you don't really want to do, or you can do a whole lot of things at the same time you don't really want to do. If you're doing that, then your behavior is going to be in conflict. So if you're a person and you're in conflict, the courts are saying you're either doing a bunch of stuff you don't really want to do one after another, or you're doing a lot of stuff you don't want to do at the same time. Then it says it becomes intolerable to you, and it gets more frustrating to us because the part of our mind that wants to do other than what we're doing becomes outraged. So you can do what you don't want to do for only so long, then it becomes intolerable, and then you become outraged. And the other way that we create fear and conflict, he says, is behaving the way you think you should without really wanting to, which is what most nice people do. They just behave the way they think they should with those. So that's why nice people are the ones that get on top of the church and pick a few people off. You know, the quiet guy that never did anything is the one that walks into the post office and shoots everybody up. That's the person who's behaving as he thought he should without really wanting to the point that it got intolerable and he went off. So if you're always behaving the way you think you should, even though you don't want to, you're making yourself afraid and mad. Okay? Then you blow out a kidney, blow out a heart, create a disease, create a sickness, create blood pressure, create lack. All that stuff is coming from being nice. Okay. Scariest people in the world are these nice people. Because they're not honest. They're not telling you the truth. They're just being nice.
Right.
How you doing? Fine. Do you like them? Yes. Hate the guts. Yes, I like them. You know what I'm saying? I want to tell you something I don't tell you. I'm feeling something I don't say. See what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, the only rule with the Course in Miracles is that you do not have to accept anything I'm saying. You don't have to accept anything I'm saying. I'm not here to convince you. I'm not here to lead you. I'm not here to do, and I don't want to do none of that. I'm too lazy. It takes too much energy to control people. I'm on the truth path because they told me I can just leave you alone and let you be. That's cool to me. It absolves me of all that responsibility to fix everybody that I thought I had. So I love the truth path. It tells them to leave people to fix alone. Let them be. Trust that they got God in them. They have a God in them. That God in them is guiding them, just like the God in you is guiding you, because God wouldn't just make a voice for you. You're not that special. I'm not that special. So whatever created us is available to everybody. So it's nobody's personal responsibility to fix anyone. And if you're constantly doing what you don't want to do, one thing after another, and when I say you, I'm talking about you. I'm not saying you, I'm talking about you. To me, it's me talking to me. So when I say you, it's like in my mind I'm going, Earl. Like after hand, everything I say in my own mind, I'm going, Earl. Okay, let me get clear. I'm teaching this class so I can learn what this book is saying. And so it's easier to remember what you remind other people of. So anything that you repeat all the time becomes a part of your consciousness. When it becomes a part of your consciousness because you repeat it to yourself all the time, it's then projected out into your physical reality, and then it becomes your physical experience. So first you hear an idea many, many times, you partially accept it as true, you listen to it some more, accept it more that it's true, then you accept it as true, and then when you accept it as true, you perceive it in your physical reality. So if there's something new that you like to see happen in your life, a new experience, a new relationship, a new love, a new friendship, a new joy, then the only way to perceive it in your experience will be to build your consciousness of it. You must have consciousness of it. It's yours by right of consciousness. And the Course says consciousness means your level and interpretation of your experience. So your consciousness level is the level you interpret your experience on. So if you interpret your experience that everybody's doing it to you, that is your consciousness level, which is a victim consciousness level, and you will attract perpetrators. If your level of interpretation is you are responsible for your experience, and you create your reality through the power of God within you, then you will have a world that loves you, is kind to you, is gentle to you, is more peaceful for you. Because there's only two types of perceptions. Either we're one, you all, or we're separate. That's it. We're either the same or we're different. We can't be both. We can look different to give us a variety of ways to experience our beauty in a way that's exciting to all of us. So your uniqueness is your own special way of reflecting the same love that we all are, the same being that we all are, the same spirit that we all are. It's just in your flavor. And you owe it to me to give me your flavor. And I owe it to you to give me my flavor. Okay? So when I'm not being my flavor, because the world is telling me I should be something else, so I'm behaving as I think I should, without really wanting to, then I create fear and conflict within my consciousness, and therefore attract fear and conflict into my life. Blame it on something outside of myself, and don't know I'm creating it by not being authentic. So all your problems are coming from inauthenticity, not the thing or the person. You're not being true to yourself. You're not being true to yourself. God's not being true to yourself. You're not being true to yourself. You're in conflict and fear. You're not being true to yourself. You're not being true to yourself. And that creates conflict and fear. And the part of you that loves you, that wants to do something else other than what you're doing, it becomes outraged, right? And then what it says, it becomes what? Outraged. And then the Course says, not only this, you can be consistent in your behavior when you behave in the way you think you should without wrong to. He says, but if you always start you under strain, because the way you're thinking and the way you're behaving are out of accord. So when your behavior and your thinking are out of accord, he says, results in a situation in which you're doing what you don't really want to do. Now, when you're doing what you don't really want to do, it arouses a sense of coercion. You start to feel like you're being forced. You start to feel like you're being coerced. And when you feel like you're being coerced because it seems like you're doing something you don't really want to do, then it produces rage. And then when you have rage, right after the rage, you project an attack. I'll say it again. It starts out with not doing what you really want to do all the time, or doing something that you don't want to do at the same time. Part of you don't want to do it, so it's getting mad. So then you go to the next level, which is behaving like a nice person like you think you should without really wanting to. And when you behave like you think you should without really wanting to, then this produces rage and a feeling of coercion, and like you're being forced to do something you don't want to do. And eventually, the Course says, projection happens and you blame somebody else for what you're doing and what you're going through, and you attack somebody else for forcing you to do what you don't want to do. So the Course is saying wherever there is fear, it just means you haven't made up your mind. So wherever you're feeling fear and conflict, go, I haven't made up my mind about my finances. I haven't made up my mind about my relationship. I haven't made up my mind about my career. I haven't made up my mind about my body. I haven't made up my mind about my health. I haven't made up my mind about my relationships. I haven't made up my mind about my relationships. I haven't made up my mind about my job. I haven't made up my mind about God. Why? Because I'm afraid. I feel conflict in that area, which means I haven't made up my mind. Since you haven't made up your mind, then your mind becomes split. What does that mean? A person with a split mind is a person with erratic behavior. A person with erratic behavior is a person with a split mind. A person with erratic behavior is a person who has not made up their mind. Now, if you follow me in the book, you'll notice that I'm using the course itself to explain the course, which isn't the same as me telling you my interpretation of the course. Most course students read it and then they try to interpret it. And then they always interpret it in favor of whatever the agenda is that they are trying to get to be okay. You got what I'm saying? So I'm practiced to begin with. I've decided I want it to be a certain way, and I'm going to use what the course says so that I work it out so that it seems like the course is saying my point of view is the one that's the one I should use. But it's really, this is just the way I want it to be. But if you notice what I'm doing, I'm saying stuff like, you're going through rage right now because you haven't made up your mind. Did it say on the page? Then it says, you're going through rage right now because you're behaving the way you think you should without really wanting to. Notice I'm just saying the course back to you using the course. That's totally different from me saying, well, Earl thinks the course says blah, 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 means this right here. I'll tell you what I think, but I'll tell you. I'll give you a break. I'll say, hey, this is the way I'm looking at that. But I found with the Course in Miracles that if a person can let themselves hear the Course in Miracles, that's when they go through the transformation of their consciousness as well as applying the idea. Most people have never heard the Course in Miracles. They've only heard people analyzing it and debating it, or saying one sentence and then using the rest of the period as a therapy session. But my classes are different. The purpose of my class is to help us remember the truth so that the truth will set us free. We don't have to do anything to get the truth to set us free. It will set us free when we allow it to shine. So look at me as taking the shade off or opening the blinds to let the sun that's already there shine through. But I don't have to put any love in you. You're full of love. I don't have to put any power in you. You're full of power. I don't have to convince you that you're innocent. You are. Now, whether you think you are or not, that's what's determining how you feel. How you feel is a reflection of your interpretation of yourself. It's how you feel. It's your interpretation of yourself. How you're feeling right now is your interpretation of this moment. I have nothing to do with that. You're controlling that because it's you that's deciding to interpret how you're experiencing me right now. So however you're experiencing me right now don't have anything to do with me. And that's true of everybody in your life, which is deep. Which is deep when you think about it. So if you're with somebody and you always behave in the way you think you should without really wanting to, hiding stuff that you really want to say, you're just using that person to enrage yourself and to make yourself feel conflict, which is going to eventually end up with you attacking them. If you do it long enough, you're going to go off on them. They're going to happen to say one little thing. You're looking at TV and they change it to another channel and then you shoot them. And they don't even know what happened. You know, it's like you had all you could take. Why? Because you've been behaving as you think you were. Now, the course says that's because you haven't made up your mind. What does that mean? Well, it means that when you haven't made up your mind, you have erratic behavior. When you have erratic behavior and you just correct the way you behave, if you just start trying to correct the way you behave, but you're still behaving as you think you should without really wanting to, you're just going to be a nice person that's full of fear. So if you correct your behavior without correcting your thinking, you don't get rid of the fear. If you correct your behavior without correcting your thinking, you don't get rid of the fear. If you correct your behavior, if I act like I like you, but I still have a misperception of you, then I'm still behaving as I think I should without really wanting to. So I'm still making myself mad every time I'm with you, and I feel coerced because I'm acting other than I really want to act about you. So sooner or later, I'm going to project on you, and I'm going to attack you. Or I'm just going to separate from you. And I'm going to disappear, and you're going to wonder what happened to me. And you go, oh, that person used to be around me. What happened? They had stuff that they wanted to tell you, but they didn't feel safe enough to tell you. They didn't feel safe enough to communicate what was going on. So it was just easier to just leave you. Isn't that deep?
Yeah.
If you've done it.
Yeah.
You know you've done it. We've all done it. We've all separated from people rather than telling the truth of how we were feeling in the moment because we wanted to keep peace.
Right.
In our mind, we did it because. But the point is, why did I separate? Why did I have the fear? I had the fear because I was always behaving as I thought I should without really wanting to, doing one thing or thinking one thing after another with that person that I didn't really want to do, and I hadn't made up my mind, and I was behaving like I like it, but I really hadn't corrected my fear. That sounds like That's an interesting state to be in, right? So the Course in Miracles anticipates what you're going to think before you think it. So let's go to the next paragraph where it'll answer what you're thinking right now. Which is, it's possible to reach a state in which you bring your mind under my guidance without conscious effort. So the Course says, it's possible to reach a state that you bring your mind under the guidance of God, your true self, without conscious effort. It is possible to reach a state of mind where you can just follow guidance without even trying. And the Course says, but this implies a willingness you haven't developed this yet. Everything I'm talking about now is about you having a willingness that you haven't developed this yet, Earl. When I say this about placing my life under the guidance of a higher power, placing my life under the guidance of love, placing my life under the guidance of God, I don't really have a willingness to do that yet. So it is possible to place your life under the guidance of something greater than you. He said, but you haven't developed the willingness to do that yet, and the Holy Spirit can't ask more than you're willing to do. So the Course says, your higher self, your spiritual self, your God self, that higher power that we keep praying exists somewhere, but where in the heck is it? He says, well, that part of you, and I say that part of you, he says, cannot ask more than you're willing to do. Now, that's important. When it's coming from your true self will never ask you to do more than you're willing to do. Your true self will never ask you to do more than you're willing to do. Your God self will never ask you to do more than you are willing to do. Your inner guidance will never ask you to do. You don't have to believe this. You don't have to accept this. So I'm not doing this from the perspective that you have to believe it. Are we clear about that? I'm not doing this from the perspective that you're perfectly welcome to say, Okay, it's okay. I see it differently. It's okay. It's okay, because until you can feel that way, you're not truly free. And until I can communicate whether you agree with me or not, I don't think you're safe. So the fact that I would say stuff that you may not agree with is symbolic of the fact that I trust you enough and our relationship enough to communicate my thoughts regardless of your perception of them. That's a sign of love. But if you're around somebody and you have to agree all the time, that's a relationship of fear. Like, if you ask me to do something and I said no, and then you get mad at me because I said no, that's a relationship of fear. That's not a relationship of love. Because if it's a relationship of love, you should feel free to ask me without fear, and I should feel free to say no without fear. A loss of your love, or you losing mine. But if I'm afraid to tell you what I really feel because I think I'm going to lose you if I do, then I don't have you in the first place, and the relationship is not real. That's why I'm afraid to tell you, because I know how unreal it is. And so I'm not going to test it. I already know it's unreal. That's why I won't test it by telling you the truth.
Right.
I already know it's unreal. That's why I won't tell you what I really feel about you. That's deep.
Yeah.
That is deep.
Yeah.
So I want relationships that I'm not afraid to say yes or no in without losing that person's love. I want relationships where it's okay for us to disagree and we can be okay as well as agree and we can be okay. I want relationships where I share what my agenda is in terms of what I want to create for myself and I have someone in my spirit that says to me, I truly support you being who you that you want to be and what's going to make you truly happy is what I want you to do, even if it's not necessarily what I would prefer. Love. I want love. But damn, I have to be that way in order to have it. I knew it was a catch. I knew that was a catch. I have to be what I want to have. Okay, so the Course says, the Holy Spirit cannot ask more than you're willing to do. So the strength, now look this, where does the strength to do something come from? Like people say, well, how do I have enough strength to do this? How do I get the strength to do this? Well, the Course says, strength comes from an undivided decision. So if you want to have the power to do something, you have to make an undivided decision to do it, a wholehearted decision to do it. You're no longer wondering if you're going to do it. It's almost like a great teacher once told me, do all the pondering before you make the decision, but when you make the decision, abandon yourself in the decision 100%. Do all your wondering beforehand, but when you say I'm going to do it, have an undivided decision. This is what you want to do, and you're going to do it. And if you do, you'll have the strength to do it. The things that you don't have the strength to do are the things you have not made up your mind to do. The things you don't have the strength to do are the things you haven't made up your mind to do.
things you don't have the strength to do are the things you haven't made up your mind to do. The things you have no motivation to actually do and you just talk about, those are the things you really haven't made your mind up to do. The stuff that you say, I want to do, but I just don't have no motivation, it means you don't really want to do. Okay, be clear about that.
Yeah.
So don't say, I really want to do something, but I don't have the strength. I really want to do something, but I don't have the willingness. I really want to do something, but somehow I just can't do it. It just means you haven't made an undivided decision to do it. All right. When you don't have the strength to do something, what does it mean?
Yeah.
I haven't made up my mind. I really don't want to do it. Okay. So everybody want to slow right after me. I ask you to say, yes, but. Okay, ready? Yes, but. One more time. Yes, but. Yes, I have a yes, but?
Yes.
Okay, all right. We all have yes, but. Yes, but. Yes, but. Whenever I don't want to do the truth, it's been revealed to me by spirit. And I've been frightened by that truth, and my ego has gotten threatened by that truth. I go, yes, but. Because, you know, whenever there's an exception, you know there's the ego, because spirit never makes exceptions. Spirit always applies the same thing consistently to everything, and there is no exception to a real truth. So as soon as I go, yes, but, I know that's my ego. If my ego is trying to create an exception, because there's some area in my life that I don't want to apply this truth to. So I got to create the exception. Oh, you free everybody, but your mate.
Right.
You give everybody the right to be with themselves, but you're your mate.
Right.
See, the exception is saying, this is the area I want to exclude from the laws of love.
Right.
For my own personal agenda.
Right.
This is where my personal agenda is more important than the truth of this situation. It is the area where I'm making the exception. And I'm innocent.
Right.
And you are too. All right? And you innocent. You innocent for doing that. You learn to do that. You learn to do that. You learn to do that. So you're innocent. All right?
Yeah.
Are you quick? Are you with me? No guilt here. 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 This is not a guilt trip class. Okay? Because you can't hear the truth if you're feeling guilty about seeing the mistakes that you're making for the first time. You'd be too busy beating yourself up for the mistake than to realize it can be corrected and let the correction happen. That's why you have to be a happy learner, an innocent learner. It's appalling when you start to wake up and you see what you've done to your own self. I admit that it is. That's one of the stages of truth that most people try to avoid everywhere they possibly can. That can't be, that quote when you wake up and see you in the bad of doo-doo. You know. It's really funny, but I didn't know what it was. I thought it was you. Then you wake up in the bad doo-doo, right? And you go, ooh, I don't want to be here no more. That's the person who wakes up from victim consciousness, knowing that they had enough of victim consciousness, and they want to be in a life that's full of power, free love. I was at a concert yesterday that there was so much love around me that I realized that I was having an experience of being in the real world. And I realized that it was my consciousness that created that experience. I was at the music festival and at the Michael Frontin Spearhead concert. And this is a very, 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 very conscious singer in a very, 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 very conscious group that attracts very, 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 very loving, very, very conscious people who party. Okay, who party. I'm talking about party, you know what I'm saying? And somebody just decided to walk up to you and give you a great big hug as they walk past you. You look at people, they smile, they say hello, they party with you. They all the most loving phrases he can say, that's what they want to chant, and they all know him. And you're sitting there going, wow, this is what my consciousness created in a public experience, which is where your ego tells you it can never happen.
It's easy to have this kind of stuff with you in a class like this for an hour, but it don't work when you go to your job. Because then you're out there in the real world. And in the real world, you can't do this. They just wake up people that just run all over you.
Exceptions. And then where is it not working? In your personal world. What are you excluding? Your personal everyday world. So of course it doesn't work on your job. You've already excluded it off your job. Saying the people on the job couldn't possibly reflect the love of God back to me. But they're people on the job. Yes, but. Yes, but. Yes, but. Yes, but. Yes, but. Yes, but. But whatever you look at what you're experiencing right now,
What you are experiencing right now is a reflection of the things you've already believed. Now, you follow me? Like, if you try to use your personal experience as an example as to why what I'm saying could not be true, you're just seeing the result of your previous decisions and conclusions. That's your physical experience right now. So just as it took some time to create that experience through your beliefs, it will appear to take some time to create this new physical reality I'm talking about. So in the meantime, it will look like you're telling yourself stuff is not true. And that's the challenge. That's what makes the beginning the hardest part. Because in the beginning, you're having to tell yourself stuff that seems to be the opposite to what you are experiencing. And that's what most people don't want to do. They want to have the physical effect before they have the consciousness that creates it. And then when they get the physical effect, it's a then I've changed my mind. But if the outer is a reflection of the inner, it's not going to change until you change your mind. So to wait until the outer changes before you become more loving is like standing in front of a mirror and expecting your clothes to change without you changing them. I got a purple top on, but I'm looking for a green top. Before I head, I can see the green top in the mirror. Well, I'm not going to see the green top in the mirror because I'm not wearing one. That's the same as sitting back waiting for someone else to treat you good before you become a loving person. It's the exact same illusion. And it happens so much, doesn't it? On this path, we walk around, we're nice people waiting for nice people to show up. And if one does show up, we possess them until slaughtering. We strangle every bit of the love I got. This is the first person that ever loved me. It's true, nobody was anywhere near them.
Right.
Squeeze the life out of it and left with just the tomb.
Right.
And then when that happens, you're just two bodies under the same roof, miles apart. When you go to the restaurant and you see the dining dead. Not even looking at each other. Never say a word. And they're in a relationship. That's a joke. That's no relationship. That's an opportunity and a gift and a lesson. But it's not a relationship in the sense. Yeah, but again, you know you don't have to agree with anything I'm saying. Any thoughts, any questions about it related to anything I've said? Everybody clear where their fear and conflict is coming from? Who can tell me in their own words and not afraid to communicate with us and say in your own words where your fear and conflict is coming from relative to what I've said? Try to remember something that we said in this rather than just give me an abstract truth that you know you've studied in another book.
I haven't made up my mind yet.
Thank you. That's what I mean. An answer related to what we're talking about. I'm in fear of conflict because I haven't made up my mind yet. Who else can give me another reason for fear of conflict based on what we said? You got the book in front of you.
I'm doing what I think I should do even if I don't want to.
Yeah, you're doing what you think you should, but you really don't want to do it. Makes me afraid. Gives me conflict. Where does rage come from?
Split mind.
Split mind. What's a split mind?
Not making your mind up.
Not making your mind up. Acting the way I think I should without really wanting to. Okay? Is everybody in the room, are you now clear, really clear in terms of what the Course is saying about why you have fear, conflict, rage, attack? Everybody clear about that now? It's not because your aunt did something to you. It's not because your mother didn't breastfeed you. It's not because they didn't give you the raise you've been looking for. It's not because your boyfriend didn't call after the last night like he said he was. Your rage is coming from what?
Not making up my mind.
What do you mean not making up my mind? Not making up my mind about how I'm going to look at it. Not making up my mind about how I'm going to interpret it. Not making up my mind about what my truth is. Not making up my mind that I'm only going to give myself an experience of love. Not making up my mind about me. I haven't made up my mind about what I am going to do to give myself peace.
I think when you make up your mind, you're also unified with God's will. So when you finally make up your mind, our will is God's will is what's coming in the next paragraph.
If you truly make up your mind, you're really having your mind made up, which is what you're saying. But I'm just trying to get us clear about what is the basic cause of fear, because the temptation would be when you leave here, I swear, I'm going to tell you now, your temptation is going to be as soon as you go out this door, the cloak of forgetfulness will drop down over you so fast, and you will go straight to lunch, straight to wherever you get ready to go, and start talking exactly like a human being that's a victim again. If you don't watch yourself, watch it. You walk right out of here, and your conversation will be what they did to you. And what it is, you just listen, and watch the clothes go down. It won't be like sitting at the lunch table going, I haven't made up my mind about blah, 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 blah. And this is the area of my life that I'm acting the way I think I should, but really, really without want to. Oh, last night, I felt coerced because I had not made up my mind, and then I went into rage and I attacked my partner. Oh, you know, I went off on my boss because I've been behaving the way I think I should without retreat. That's applying the truth to the conversation. So you still can talk about what happened with your mama, but if you apply the truth to it, it becomes an empowering thing that will wake you up as opposed to something that takes your power away and puts you to sleep. Yes, I'm having a hard time with my kid. I can't get them to pay attention to me because the truth is at some level I'm not making up my mind about how I want to feel about this, first of all. That's why I'm getting mad to begin with, no matter what they're doing, is I haven't made up my mind to give myself only peace. And relationships are great for that. They're great for that, especially personal relationships. Special relationships are great for projecting one's unhappiness onto somebody else and saying it's their fault, the reason why it's not happening. Even if you don't have one and you wish you had one, so you have somebody to blame. Now, because when you're out of one, you have to take more responsibility for what you're experiencing. When you're in one, it's easy to set somebody else for somehow not doing what they should be doing to make you happy. That's why most people can only be alone so long. It's only so long they can deal with their own thoughts. And then they got to have a mate. And then some people, they've hidden from themselves so long that they have to get to themselves to find out who or what they think. Because they use their relationships to get so out of touch. And then there's another group that use their relationships to wake up to who they really are. Use their relationships to know the love that they are. Use their relationships to see that they're free. Use their relationships to see that they're appreciated and that they're one with God. That's another group of people that live like that. And when you start to meet them, the one characteristic that will be the most impressive about them is their sanity. Their lack of projection on each other, their lack of attack on each other, their lack of trying to control each other. I know instantly when I'm with a couple that's full of fear and one that's full of love. Even though they may be calling the fear love, which is what we do. We call fear love and love fear.
Right.
Okay, I love you, but I'm scared to death.
Right.
With you. But I love you. See, a person that's awake knows that fear. I want love. And I want to join with people who want love. But I have to say it. I have to put it out to the universe. I have to let the universe know, right? So I use this opportunity to ask for what I want. And I want to always invite you in my classes to use it as an opportunity to go for what you want with some people who want to go there with you. So as you go, let's go deeper in this. Anybody else before I go further? I'm having an incredible advanced mind training seminar that the right people that God sends that want to come will be there. You're invited. It's 10 to 3. It's $50 financial investment, which is nothing. And it's for those who want to go deeper. And they want to know, how can I apply this in my day-to-day life? So if you would like to do that, there's a notebook up here with a pen. Let me know. Okay.
Today.
This is next Saturday from 10 to 3 here. There's one thing to say I want to say, there's another thing to do something that's symbolic of it.
How often do you
There's no two that's ever alike, and I do them when I'm inspired, and basically that's been on the average of once every couple of months. Yeah. Because I kind of do anything that I'm not inspired to do. Because if I'm not inspired to do it, it's my ego that's teaching you. See, if you operate from the security center, if you do everything you do in your life so that you can make it, that's why you struggle. Because you're not using your power. Your power comes from inspiration. Inspiration is in spirit. Spirit is love. And that's why you see so many people that are beautiful, powerful people that are struggling. Because they do everything out of fear, out of a sense of, I got to just make it. And then they wonder why the struggle comes. It's not really as complex as we think it is. We just don't know the power of thought. We don't know the power. We haven't been taught the power of our consciousness. We haven't. Right? I don't know about you, but when I look at the news at 5:30, I hear them saying, you create your reality and you're totally innocent and one with God. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? It's like they're analyzing everything McCain and Obama says and telling me about how much the gas prices are and we're going to hell on a handbasket and everything else that they can come up with. But I use it as an opportunity to remind myself that God is in charge and that it's not ultimately true. So I look at the news just to completely disavow everything I'm looking at. As an exercise. Because I'd rather learn how to see it as not real in terms of God when it's something that's not connected to me, what appears to be personally, so that I can develop that ability to give things to God that are not that personal to me at first, so that when the things happen that are personal to me, I already have developed that muscle to see it correctly. So I don't start, if you're going to start practicing going beyond looking at the things that seem to be fearful and looking at them another way, then one of the ways that you do that is to look at it and remind yourself it's not real. Where a lot of people, it's so real to them that they can't look at it. And they'll say that they're looking at it, they're putting energy into it, but they're trying to avoid it because they think it's so real, it's actually putting the energy into it. Now, that's not saying you should look at news if you don't want to look at news, but I'm asking you to ask yourself, are you not looking at it because you are afraid? Are you not looking at it because you feel the love and power of God within you? Are you not looking at it because you think you're going to create it by looking at it, which means you're not in touch with the reality of it, the illusion of it, and the connection with God? Well, it wouldn't make you no difference one way or the other. You can look at it and you'd be okay, and you cannot look at it and you'd be okay. Either way, it wouldn't make you any different. You wouldn't go out of your way to avoid the TV any more than you would go out of your way to watch TV. If you really got the right connection, you're not afraid of anything. So therefore, it wouldn't be no need to avoid anything. So I had to get honest with myself. And you know what I found out? I was afraid.
Yep.
That's why I wasn't looking at it.
Right.
It's sort of like standing in the middle of a railroad track and putting my hand on my so the train not going to hit me. Why? Because I don't see the train. That's where it is with you. You know what I'm saying? It's like, okay, I'll just pretend it really isn't happening. And it isn't, okay, now, if you really to pretend that the war isn't happening to the point that you don't want to look at that, can you do that with what your friends and mates and relatives and bosses are doing every day? Can you take the same attitude towards them as you take towards the TV?
You're not joining.
Because first of all, they're only presenting me with aspects of my own consciousness that I need to look at and release. That's the number one thing. They're actually just making me aware that I got these issues in my own mind that I should give to God so that God can take that out of my mind. And I'm going to say it again. The people around you are doing you a favor because they're getting you in touch with thoughts in your mind that you need to re-perceive and let go of your guilt around and anger around. So all of them are really blessing you because they're giving you a chance to consciously make a decision that that is not who you are and that you're going for the love that is you, and you're also going to realize that's not who they are either, and you're going to go for the love that is in them that they have forgotten about. So they present you every day with an opportunity to take yourself beyond being in situations like that ever again. Every situation you're in is an opportunity to take you past that situation forever just by learning not to condemn it. How do you do that? By recognizing that I'm just looking at an aspect of myself that is just a call for love that I need to give up to something greater than me to solve. It's just a call for love. Yes, but. You wouldn't have gotten loved if you remembered you were God. If you knew you were innocent, you wouldn't attract violence. So what's the challenge? Well, first of all, if that's the truth, I need to be around some jokers that reminded me that I'm innocent.
that's looking at me and going, you know something, you may make mistakes, you may do some things that's an error, we all do, we all learn, but you know what? You really are an innocent, loving child of God. You really are this unlimited spiritual being that's really a great being. Yes, you just might have a little thoughts that need to be received and reinterpreted, but I'm not going to forget who you are, even when you forget. I'm not going to forget. So your job now, in order to create a new world, is to learn how to look at people, remembering the truth while you look at them, even if they don't know it for themselves, and fight,
if I want a better word, the need to feel like you need to fix them, grab them, change them, or make them go along with your program whatsoever. If you do that, your entire physical experience will change and become more peaceful, more harmonious, more prosperous, and more loving. Because God would never make his plan or her plan be something that involves you having to get somebody else to do something that they didn't want to do. That's the hard way. So any plan that you come up with that has to do with getting anybody to do anything that they don't want to do, you know it's your ego coming up with that plan. Because the real plan would just call for you remembering the truth for yourself and applying it to yourself. And then watching everyone else transform because you know they have that same power even if they're not using it. See, you may not use the power that I'm talking about today, but for me to have a transformed reality, all I have to do is remember you have that power in any given moment to transform your life whenever you decide to change your mind. That's seeing you with vision of Christ. That's seeing you from the eyes of God. Not getting upset because you're not doing this today, but to realize that in a particular point in time, you can choose to make an undivided decision to be happy. That's looking at you with the vision of Christ. Not going, she doesn't believe what the Course says. Let me see if I can convince her that the Course is true and tell her what's wrong with what she's doing, and if she'll get a chance to do it this way, then she'll be all right. It may look like I'm doing that standing up here, but I'm not. All I'm doing is reminding you of what I don't want to forget. That's it. And you were sent because something brought you here. My part of the deal is to be as authentic in myself as I can possibly be while you're here, while remembering the truth about you that you may not even realize. If I do that, I'll have a transformed reality, and you'll have less problems than you think you have also.
And so there's nothing that I just suggested that anybody in this room couldn't leave out of here today and do. Tell me what I said today that anyone in this room couldn't do today, please, if they wanted to. Because I said, whatever I'm asking you to do has nothing to do with changing anybody else. I said, nothing I'm asking you to do has to do with you speaking to anybody else about what I just said. But applying it to yourself, saying it's true for me. What does that mean? Well, today I'm going to walk out of here and as much as I possibly can, even though I may not always be able to do it, as much as I possibly can, I'm going to do what I want to do today. And as much as I possibly can, I'm going to realize that everybody else has their choice also whether they're doing it or not. Just those two things. When I leave out of here today, I'm going to do as much as I can is what I really want to do. And the other thing that I'm going to do is to recognize that everybody else that I know have the same power within them to do the exact same thing that I'm doing, even if they're not choosing to do it. And it's not my job to get them to do it or even to tell them they ought to do it. If you do that, you will see a new life being created for you that will blow your mind. But you won't see it until you do it. Your girl's ego is going to leave out of here today and go, if she was just changed, I'd be happy. And if that was just changed, then I'd be happy. And if that person in that situation was just a little bit to go right back out, my ego step and do the same old plan that I've always had, which is find something outside of myself that's going to do it for me. And if I don't, can I make somebody outside of myself do it for me? And then can I even force myself? Well, everything that I'm saying applies to you as much as it does to anybody else. Stop forcing yourself to do what you don't want to do. Realize you are still that powerful, unlimited being that can make a choice at any moment, even if you feel depressed or you feel unhappy about something. Like right now, let's say you don't feel too good about something. All right. Big deal!
You're innocent.
Big deal!
How many times have you had this feeling since you've been born? How many times have you felt just like, oh, there's something about my life that I wish was a little, if I could have this other situation or person, that as soon as I get this over here, that, I don't know about you, but as long as I've been on the same plan, I've been running that game on myself. Haven't you been running that game on yourself? The next person is the one. The next situation is the one. The next place I move is the one. The next job I get is the one.
It's the one.
Yeah.
The one.
I love when people pass after that, just go straight to the game because the ego
hiding. That's great. That's a good thing. That's a good thing. Sometimes those people will wake up and be like that.
It's not about frightening people, so I don't do that no more. Because the Course in Miracles says that that happens. The Course in Miracles says it's totally natural. It's totally natural. That's what I'm trying to tell you. There is no stage that you go through on the physical path that is not a natural stage that you go through on the spiritual path. So however you are reacting right now to your learning, that is a natural stage for you to go through. So whatever stage you're in, whether it's resistance, whether it's going to sleep, whether it's waking up, whether it's being in touch, whether it's reading, whether it's not reading, whether it's running away from it for a while, those are all the natural stages that you go through when you are on the way to truth.
Now, the people around you are not always going to react the way you want them to your being yourself. The people around you are not always going to react the way you want them to. Everybody's not going to necessarily like it. And when you stand up for yourself and you start to say yes and no, I'll say it again. Everybody in your life, they're not going to necessarily go, "Wee, you be, I go along with you being your true self." Do you understand that? I'm going to say it again. Moving into your real self, it's going to produce the kind of power and love that you want to have in your life right now. If you need to have the approval of everybody around you before you'll be true to yourself, you won't be able to pull this off. That's what he says, you haven't made up your mind. You have to make up your mind and go, I'm going to go for my authentic self. I'm going to move in the direction of my heart. I'm going to go in the direction of what I really want to do in my heart. I'm going to start saying yes, and I'm going to start saying no. No is more freeing than yes. Because no is the thing that people have the most resistance in saying. People would much rather go, okay, when they don't want to do it. I'll accommodate you when they don't want to do it. So the more you say no, the freer and more powerful you're going to feel. Even though a lot of stuff will say, talk about saying yes. But for those of you who need to say no, it's okay to say no. If you really want to have a communication with me and you really want to have this heal with me, in order for you to have a conversation with me, I need to request that you not attack me and that you let me finish what I've got to say before you interrupt me. If you won't allow me to say what I've got to say without interrupting me, you are completely innocent, but I'm going to stop talking. Okay? So see the difference in that? It's like, okay, if you really want to go to the next, see, that's honoring myself now. Now I'm honoring myself. This is really the way I feel. If you really want to communicate with me, this is what we're going to have to do for it to work for me. You don't have to do it. You don't have to do it, but if we're going to have a real relationship with each other where I communicate with you and where I feel safe to communicate with you, you will have to do it. But you don't have to do it. See the difference? So you're free. You can still do it your way, but don't get upset with me when I ain't talking. See, that's what I'm saying. To go beyond boundaries, at first you need to create some.
Right.
Especially if you're a person that's used to acting the way you think you should without really wanting to, or doing one thing after another that you really don't want to do. If you're one of those people, then your way out is going to be setting rules for communication for yourself in relationship to rebuild your sense of authenticity and loving yourself. And that's beautiful if you do that. Now, the person may act a fool. They may get mad, and they may try to use guilt to make you give in, or tell you how wrong you are, or escalate their anger. And can you still maintain your position no matter how their ego reacts? I don't care how mad you get. If you scream at me, I am not going to communicate. I don't care how mad you get. You know, so you got your right to have your right to your own. It's okay. Because why? Because I don't want to make myself afraid anymore. I don't want to create conflict for myself anymore. And I've just learned today that that's what creates conflict and fear. And those thoughts of conflict and fear create the physical circumstances of fear that I go through. Now, this has been such hardcore, straight up truth today that I want to acknowledge you. Because it's extremely difficult to stay conscious when you're getting it as straight as I'm giving it to you. So anybody that can stay conscious 10 minutes of this hour, 5 minutes of this hour, I want to acknowledge you for that. The Course in Miracles says that the ego self, the old self, goes straight into unconsciousness when you're being confronted with the truth that will set you free. That is a natural reaction to the truth, is that we do go out. That's why I said never feel guilty about that. Never feel guilty about going unconscious. Never feel guilty about going to sleep. Never feel guilty about not showing up. Never feel guilty about not reading. It's a natural reaction to the healing truth that saves you, that the part of you that doesn't love you, that has learned of the world, will try to take you away from whoever is freeing you. You think it'd be just the opposite. You run toward them, but that's not true. Yeah.
I lost you on that last
sentence. I said, right. See, that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, see, that's what you do. You see what she did? She went, all right, I went unconscious on that statement because you remind me of what you just said. See, that's all you have to do. You have to go, okay, I forgot for a minute. I didn't hear that. And what I said was, when you're really going toward the truth, if you're really trying to love yourself, if you're really trying to make a transformation, that the old self, the part of you that you used to be, that's based on the teachings of the world, will do everything in its power to distract you and make you forget what you just heard, or just get you to avoid anything or anybody that will treat you right and love you. So that's why sometimes people say, I really want to do this material, but they'll find they don't come. Or I really want to do this, but they don't study. Not because they have something wrong with them. That's the old self trying to perpetuate the very thing that they're saying they want to get rid of. Because that has created an identity. And that identity doesn't want to leave. A person that loves you and recognizes the truth about you realizes you are not your ego. You are not that identity that resists the truth. And I don't see you as being the part of you that would resist love. But I'm aware of the part of you that will resist love. So when it shows up, I just don't try to do anything to it or with it. Took me a long time to get that. Leave the ego alone. When the ego shows up, just leave it alone. Don't try to convince it. Don't try to fix it. Don't try to correct it. Wait till the person returns. Wait till the person returns. What do you mean? Wait till they come back. To that point that they're peaceful enough to hear the truth again. And you can do this deep. But this is different, isn't it? It's different from what we were taught.
That may be why it works.
Because it is different. Now, if you're a fixer and a caretaker, you're not going to like it. If you get your sense of self-esteem by how many people you feel like you're fixing and handling and taking care of and teaching, then you're not going to like this. But if you want to quit, if you want a quick result, I'll say it one more time. I'm going to finish. If you want a quick result, when you leave here today, as much as you possibly can, do what you want to do. And when you're not doing what you want to do, recognize I'm not doing what I want to do. Don't blame anybody else because you're the one that's not doing what you want to do. Make up your mind that you're going to choose for your peace now. That you're really going to choose for your peace now. You're really going to go for what makes you happy now. And here's the most important part. This is the part that most people can't do or won't do.
Every single person in this room has the power to do exactly what the truth says whenever they want to. So you just go ahead and accept that everybody where they want to be.
And they're all innocent.
And they're all innocent. I'm telling you. So if I have the choice to do it different, but I walk out of this door and I don't, then why should you feel guilty about my unhappiness? I'm the one that decided to keep the old thought system going, even though I just got the new thought system. So why should I? Why should you feel personally responsible for my happiness at that point? Because I have a choice, and I'm just choosing not to use it. But I have the power to use it, and I just want you to always know I got the power to use it. And I want to always remember for you that you got the power to use it, and then we'll be healed.
Could you acknowledge yourself? Holy Spirit. Awesome! Woo! 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 Can I have a little acknowledgement too? I feel like I went too far. I need y'all to let me know. Okay, alright, okay. What does my ego say?
You went too far. You went too far. You're innocent.
You know, and don't be afraid. Like, if you come in and let's say something is up for you, before you leave, I may not necessarily have to know what that is, but you could still say, hey, you know what? I just need you to tell me I'm innocent right now. Or I just need you to give me a hug right now. I don't have to know the form of your illusion, but you know that the answer is some form of joining. Take advantage of what we have. Thank you for sharing with me and sharing with Unity Temple. I teach the Course in Miracles full time, live out the donations from the Course, so I really thank you who appreciate enough to share financially, and so does Unity Temple.
Yeah.
And don't forget, we got the Advanced Mind Training next Saturday. And see, I'm looking so forward to that. See how much of this we've gotten. Thank you.